We love this church. I love Andries and Lisa. Andries has been my mentor for a couple of years now. But Andries, thanks for inviting us. We had a wonderful time at Freedom Weekend. So many people got set free. Who of you are here that came to Freedom Weekend? Amazing. And who of you got set free from stuff? Right? Wow, that's amazing. Thanks so much. And I just want to honor my dad. He's there at the back with my mother and our son, who doesn't have a shirt on, just so that you know. We don't do that normally in George, but I don't know why he doesn't have a shirt on. He's just very free in this environment. So my dad's a Dominee in Rawsonville. He introduced me to God. He introduced me to deliverance ministry. So all of that, what you experience over the weekend, obviously it's from God first, but also he played a big role in that. So let's thank him for that. Him and my mom there at the back. And then my wife, she is with the Kiddies Church. So it always tells a story. So maybe you saw them running down here, blondies, all of them. So we're three, and there's another one on the way. And they are beautiful children, I must say. So often people come to me and they say, "Amo, your children are so beautiful, but they don't look like you." And it's been like a recurring thing, like comments I get all the time. "Amo, you beautiful children," and I'm like, "What are you saying?" What are you saying? So when we walk, we have a Garden Route Mall in George. So I would walk the mall, and then I would see this family approaching us, the husband and the wife. And I would see the wife would look at my children. The husband looks at my wife. And then nobody looks at me. But I figured that Jesus, at least, he's looking at me. Okay, so if we walk together here and I see you not looking at me, please just show some courtesy and look at me. Great. So it's a good thing that I'm talking about identity. And we're just going to carry on with the theme. I know that Andries has been speaking on freedom and also in terms of your identity. But this is something that's really, it's close to my heart, because it's something that God has really dealt with me in the past. So I got, when I was born into this world, there was another fellow that came with me, my twin brother. He looks identical. We are identical twins. He looks like me. So we came into this world as us. So I remember when I was younger, I got so irritated or frustrated, because it was always the O'Kennedys or the twins. Never like Armor, the person, the unique person that I really wanted acknowledgement for. And later, looking back, I actually think it's a really good thing, because I always had a friend. He did very well at school, so I almost always got those compliments where people would say, "Hey, oh, wow, man, you're so clever." But my brother was always the more clever one. You know, if he did well in sport, then I would get the accolade also. People would just look at me and think, "Wow, I'm Kenny." But I remember it was a struggle for me to get to know myself. So am I Kenny? It's my brother's name. Or am I Armor? Who am I? And I think that's a question that a lot of us ask. I think many times we start with the question, "What should we do?" But I think that's the wrong question to start with. I think the right question to start with is, "Who am I?" And we're going to address that question, because I think freedom, it lies in that, the answer to that question. And I want to start off by making a really bold statement, because I've experienced this in my life and with people that we minister in our church also, is that freedom is possible if you can answer this question: who am I? Freedom is possible. So freedom is often defined as the ability to do what you want to do when you want to do it. That's often. So it has to do with what you do. But I want to define freedom in terms of who you are. We at in George, we're doing an outreach later in the month to Plet Rage. You know, the Matric Festival, some really horrible stuff happening there, and we're trusting in God's going to intervene and He's going to change people's life. I know Stellenbosch is sending 100 students also to Plead Rage. I know some of them are coming here in their minds. What a great opportunity for the gospel to reach matrix just before they go into varsity or whatever they want to do after school. But the first time that I went there, their slogan was, "Hello, freedom." And I was so saddened by that. And even now working with young people, I get this idea that they feel that freedom will happen once they go out of school, once they leave their parents' houses, once they get to 18 and they can drink alcohol. So we define freedom by the ability to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And I know there's truth in that. Like in the apartheid days, like black people and colored people they were restricted in their movement. They couldn't go to certain beaches. So, and that is not freedom. But there's a bigger freedom. And I've spoken to people, black and colored people, that grew up in apartheid, but they are the most free people that I know. But they were restricted in their movement. Why are they free? Because they know who they are. One of our senior pastors in Shofar, Heinrich Titus, he's one of them. He is such a free guy. But he grew up in apartheid because his dad taught him this amazing truth. It's not what you can do or you cannot do. It's who you are. So we're going to look at that question. So freedom is defined by what you were designed for. Like, for instance, a boat, a ship. It's free in the ocean, but is a boat really free in the main street of Hermanus? No. A boat is free in the ocean because it is designed for the ocean. But is a boat really free in the main street of Hermanus? No. And I have this feeling that so many of us Christians, we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we want to do it in the street of Hermanus, metaphorically speaking, and not in the ocean, where we were designed to have freedom. So I think it's safe to say that some of you in this room, you feel that your freedom is limited by something. Maybe it's good. It's stuff that happened to your past, stuff that you didn't have authority over. Like, maybe you grew up in a house where you were abused. Maybe you grew up in a house that your father never told you that he loves you. Maybe you didn't have a father. Maybe you were brought up in a poor home. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe it's your sin, the things that happened in the past that limits your freedom. Maybe you say it's because of Adam and Eve's sin. And we can just all play the victim. We can say we are the victim because of Adam and Eve's sin. And we can give them all the skuld, but this blame for that. Yes. But is that what Jesus promised? Is that what Jesus promised? I remember the last time I preached here, I told the story of one of our friends that came to my wife and I, and she said, "Amo, I'm struggling with anxiety and I'm struggling with fear. But when I read the Bible and when I'm in the presence of God, I know that this is not what God intended for me to experience. This is not the life God intended for me. And I want to be set free from this." And because she had such a desire for freedom, God delivered her right there from anxiety and depression. Obviously, she had there's a road that she needed to walk with Jesus in this process of freedom. But she experienced freedom in a moment because she knew that the truth is that Jesus came to set us free. So there's a scripture that all of you know that we quote so often. And it's a scripture up there. It says, John 8, verse 36. It says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I love cliches because there's a reason why it's a cliche. Because it's so true. So read it with me. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So it doesn't say if the Son sets you are free until you sin again. It doesn't say this: if the Son has set you are free until your spouse leaves you. It doesn't say if the Son has set you are free until South Africa doesn't have that good a leader. It doesn't say that you are free until you suffer or have a difficult financial month. That's not what it's saying. It says, if the Son has set you are free indeed. And the only way that that makes sense is when we understand it as a statement on our identity. That we are free. And there's no external circumstance, there's no external reality that can place bondage on us if we are free in our spirit. If the Son has set us free, we are completely free. And I want to explain this to you by using this scripture in 2 Corinthians 3. Says, now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed in its glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if it was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. And we're just going to stop there and carry on to the next part. So it speaks of two ministries. It speaks of the ministry of condemnation, and it talks of the old covenant. And then it speaks of the ministry of righteousness, which is the new covenant. So the old covenant, it had a law, and you need to perform the law. You need to obey the law, else you were condemned. That's what it speaks of. And then it says there's a new covenant, and that came with glory, by the way. So it wasn't a bad thing. We're not going to push it aside. It's still part of the Bible, and Jesus even quotes it. So that's still, it's an amazing thing. It's part of the Bible. So then Jesus says, Jesus brings in and he initiates a new covenant, and it's the ministry of righteousness. But what is righteousness? Righteousness is to be in right standing with God. You can see it's identity. So the old covenant spoke of doing stuff to obey the law so that you can be in a right standing with God. The new covenant said Jesus, he fulfilled the law so that we can have the identity of righteousness so that we can be in right standing with God. And that is amazing news. Because we will never be able to fulfill the commandments. We will never be able to fulfill. So if we are in a right standing with God because of Jesus and because of we being placed in Him, crucified with Him, then it is our identity that we are righteous. We are righteous in Christ. So there's a... when Donnie passed away recently in a... in our congregation, and he told me, Amo, if you struggle with sin, what he does is he would just say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God. That's not who I am. I was never created to sin in this way. I was never created to do all these stupid things. I am the righteousness of God. So what was he doing? He was fighting the bondage with the freedom that he has in his identity. You can see how important that is. So my desire for all of you, and even those who attended Freedom Weekend, is that you would understand that you are free in your identity. That is who you are. Isn't that an amazing thought? So can we get going to the next part of that scripture? Since we have such a hope, so it's So Paul is writing, he's saying, we have this hope in this ministry of righteousness that came in even more glory. We are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That word again. Can you believe it? And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So just keep that up there, please. So it says that when we come to Jesus, there's an unveiling that happens. So the first unveiling that happens is this ability to get into the presence of God. So the veil was torn. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn. That is one of my favorite parts in the Bible. Like the old covenant, the old priests, they so wanted to get into the most holies. But there was only one guy once a year that could go into the most holy place. And now that veil was torn because of Jesus' death on the cross. And we have the freedom to go into the presence of God and to experience what they were longing for to experience. So there's an unveiling. That's the unveiling. But there's another unveiling that happens. So the veil is removed and the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's freedom of ability to move into the presence of God. But then there's something else that happened. And beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So that same image is Jesus. So now you get saved and you are allowed to go into the presence of God. The presence of God is in you. And as you move closer to God, as you pursue the presence of God, this unveiling happens, and you're like, this is who I am. Because in the presence of God, that is what happens. In the presence of your Father, that is what happens. We have a cousin, and she's adopted. And she always struggled with this identity. And a lot of adopted children struggle with identity. Who am I? Because I don't know who my dad or my mother is. So she then later found a mother, and she visited her, and she came back, and I remember speaking to her, and she said, she speaks exactly like I speak. She has all the mannerisms, or many of the mannerisms that I have. I know where I come from. And in a way, she said, I know who I am. And that's many times the experience that happens when we enter the presence of God. That's why it's so important. Like when we come to church on a Sunday, when we have small groups, just to enter the presence of God, to get to know the Father. Because if we know whose we are, we will know who we are. So a lot of youngsters and even old people, we try and find our identity, whether it's money or whether it's split rage or what we can do. But we never just go back to the Father. Go back to our dad and it's like, oh, that's who I am. So there's this unveiling of who we are that happens. And sorry to say, I think a lot of times in church, we take people back to Genesis 3. We say, hey, the moment you're going to meet with God, you're going to expect to meet with Genesis 3. And that's where the sin of man, where sin came in. And that is true. The more I spend time with God, the more I become aware of where I'm failing in a big way. But that's, for me, that's exciting. That's like a challenge to work on. Some of you stop there. But God wants to take us back to Genesis 1. Because that is who we are. That's the boat in the ocean. Some of us, we think we're Genesis 3 and we are like a boat in this main street of Hermanus. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm so sinful and useless. I will never be have any impact in my world. There's no freedom in my life. But if you go back to Genesis 1, then in Genesis 1 verse 27, it says that we are created in whose image? God's image. So that's our design, and that's where freedom lies. So you get into the presence of God, and you're like, wow, God, so you are showing me who I am. That's amazing. I'm different than Kenny. He looks exactly like me. He even has the same mannerisms. He is, wow, but I am unique. And I have so many amazing things to give to this world. But it only happens in the presence of God. And so many of us, we stop before that unveiling. We know it intellectually, but we never go there in with our hearts and say, God, I want you to reveal yourself so that I can know myself, so that I can be a witness of your glory and your image. Because if you know who you are representing His image. The last part of that scripture says, into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the presence of God is the Spirit of the Lord. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, the Spirit could come. Because now the presence won't kill us. It will actually empower us. So I want to urge you, and I want to challenge you to make effort to go into the presence of God and stay there, so that you can know who you are and you can live in freedom. I want to play a 2-minute video clip from a movie, Blood Diamond, and it'll... That's a picture of God the Father. So the story is that kid ran away and he became a child soldier and he killed lots of people. So then his dad found him. And what did he do? He said, this is not who you are. And that's exactly what God's telling so many of you this morning. Hey, so yeah, you messed up. Yes, you messed up. But I want to take you not to Genesis 3, I want to take you back to Genesis 1. You are my son. You are full of soccer. You are full of the image of God. And I've called you, I've designed you to represent the fullness of who I am to the world. And at this moment, you are not representing, you're not doing that. But I still have that design. I still have that calling for you. The sculptor was once asked, how do you create a horse out of rock? And he says, he just chisels away everything that's not a horse. And Michelangelo was also asked, and how do you create a, he's also created a, I think it was an angel, and he said he also looked at everything that's not an angel, and then he sets the angel free by me, like chiseling away everything that's not the angel. So here's what I feel God's saying to you. God's saying, I know who you are. You need to get to know me so that I can tell you who you are. And then you can ask me to chisel away everything that you are not. So now the question is, oh, but I've done that. I've come to the Jesus, but I still don't know. I sense this anxiety is who I am. It's not. And the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. It's not. Oh, I'm such a shy person, I can never share the gospel. Hey, that is not you. You have to grow through it. Maybe you're more introverted than the other extrovert, but that is not you. If something keeps you away from the goodness of God, it's not. It's a, hey, oh, but I'm so sinful. I'm divorced, Armour. But that is not who you are. That's not your identity. It's something that happened to you. And I want to chisel it away. If you come to me and you turn, you repent. You turn away from that thing. But you're not only turning away, you're turning to God so that God can unveil who you really are. So long in the church, we have communicated, hey, just turn away from sin. My question is, to who are you turning? Turning away from sin. Some people are turning away from sin and they're repenting and they're confessing their sin, but they're just turning to other sin or maybe to religion that's not God relationship. So will you allow God to show you who you are and then to chisel away everything that you are not? That's why the prophetic gift is so important in the church, where people who'd have the freedom to hear from God and speak to people about who they are. To go to Lisa and say, Lisa, you have this gift of excellence. You have this gift of hospitality. Nothing that you do won't have the detail of God in it, because that's just who you are. And the moment, Lisa, wow, that is who I am. So I can pursue that. I can pursue that in freedom. So when I go to Henri and I'm like, hey, God, speak to me. Henri, you are a dragon slayer in the spirit. You can drive out demons just by looking, passing people in the street. You are praying. You are a prayer warrior. That is who Henri is. And sometimes we also make the mistake of just telling people what they can do well. But hey, you are a son. You have identity. You are pure. You are holy. You are righteous. And that's amazing. Okay, to sum up, freedom is possible. But you're only going to know your freedom if you know God, where freedom comes from. And if you know God, you're going to know who you are. If you spend time in His presence, you're going to know who you are. And if you're going to know who you are, you will have the ability to know what you need to chisel away. And it's not you that's going to, you will not do it. God will do it. And if you allow God to chisel those things away, because sometimes it's difficult, it's traumatic even just to say, oh man, I believed the lie for 20 years, for 50 years. But just get rid of that lie. There's no shame connected to that. Just, hey, that's not who I am. And get back to the image of God in you so that we can represent God in a pure and powerful way. And then when you are set free, you can go further. And this is where we want to get to, is that you can help other people to be set free. My wife and I, we love inviting people into our house because we know it's a free environment. Free in the sense that lots of toys lying around, some oats still of the morning lying around on the table, but also free in the sense that the Spirit of the Lord is there. And people, when they can be themselves. They can let go of their sin. They can let go of their pretension. Because the Spirit of the Lord is there. I want us all to stand. Ben, if you can come up. So I want to redeem that Bleed Rage slogan. I want to say, hello, freedom. God's saying, hello, freedom. If you're sitting in this room, don't walk out of here still in bondage. So I want you to close your eyes. And how do you start with just developing your own identity? It's something that I've used for a long time. Just a simple exercise is, all of us know one thing at least of who we really are. That could be like, hey, I'm a son of God. And then I say, God, I thank you that I know that this angel that you are chiseling away is a son of God. And just declare it over yourself. Say, God, I'm thankful for that. Just speak out loud. Say, God, I'm thankful for that. Gratitude is another perk. The Bible says we come into his gates with thanksgiving. So the moment we are thankful for anything, we go into his gates. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. The freedom will come. Start thanking God that he created you in the image of God. And if you want to pray a very bold prayer, say, God, I'm going to allow you to chisel away everything that is not the image of God. Chisel away all the lies, God. Chisel away all the demons. Chisel away my depression. Chisel away my anxiety. Chisel away the bondage. Just speak to God. While every eye is closed, I want to give people the opportunity to first meet with Jesus, and then we're going to give people the opportunity to meet with freedom, to be set free, to be delivered. Best experience of your life. So if you're standing here in this room and you don't know Jesus, you're like, what is this all about? Maybe you've known Jesus before in your life, you met him at a camp or when you were young, but you don't know Jesus. When I was speaking, you're like, man, this guy, he likes this Christianity thing. He loves God. You feel like you're just so far away, and God's calling you home. He says, come, son, come. I want to show you who you are. You are not that runaway boy, that rebellious child. Come. Bring your sin, bring your dirt, bring everything. I'm going to clean you up. I'm even going to throw you a party, because that's what Jesus shares with us in this prodigal son story. So if that is you, while every eye is closed, I want you to go hand very high. So God, I'm coming back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just very high. Just lift your hand very high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can lower your hands again. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. So I'm going to ask God to reveal a few things here that he wants to chisel away. And if you respond to that, if you can just raise your hand. And I'm definitely going to call you forward just so that you know. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to mand those things to go out of your life. See, if you're in this room and you're struggle with anxiety, just while every eye is closed, you struggle with anxiety, just when you lift your hand very high. You struggle with anxiety and fear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in this room and you battle depression, I mean, you lift your hand very high. If you're in this room and you battle with suicidal thoughts, you want to kill yourself, and you've even tried to do that, I want you to raise your hand very high. Because God didn't create you so that you can kill yourself. He wants to give you life and life in abundance. And that means that there's freedom for you today. And this is a bold one, but I sense God is wanting to do this today. If you are in this room and you're struggling with sexual sin, and I'm just going to name them, because it's this church and God wants to set you free. It's not so that the dirt can be revealed, so that dirt can be taken away. If you're struggling with masturbation, you struggle with pornography, if you struggle with homosexuality, if you struggle with whatever sexual thing, and you know, if you're sitting here, you know what I'm talking about. I want you to raise your hand very high. Say, God, today I'm going to be set free. Because that's not who I am. I'm not a porn addict. That's not who you created me to be. I'm struggling with it, but that's not who you created me to be. Thank you, Jesus. I want all those people who raise their hands to come stand right here in the front. And if we can get some of the facilitators just to remove the first row of chairs. And all the facilitators, especially those who were at the Freedom Weekend, if you can come forward. And as my pa can come, so that great is. So the facilitators, if you can just line up here in front and you can face the crowd. And those people responded. If you can move forward. I want those people who are responding, you come to a facilitator and you tell them, this is what you want to be set free from. If you're coming home for the first time, if you want to be set free of stuff, if you want to get born again, just tell the facilitator, this is what you're coming for. Facilitators, I want you to stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. You're going to pray for people, but you're also going to command the chiseling to happen. So it means in the name of Jesus, this anxiety must go right now. Those of you sitting at the back, I want you, because all of us are participating, I want you to turn to the person next to you and you ask them, what do you need to be set free from? What's the one thing you know that is not who you are? And then you pray for them. You say, hey, I know that's not who you are. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to thank God for this most amazing person who you are. But if you need to respond, please come forward. Just come forward. Thank you, Jesus.